So let's just pray. Father, in thank you, Lord, today for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you are here with us. You have already said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So you are here. Thank you for that. And give us a good exhortation today that we bless your people everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can sit down. Praise the Lord. What the Lord laid upon my heart to present to you today is prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Remember, as we were doing the review some minutes ago, we mentioned that prayer is a religious activity. A religious activity. All the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Islam, they all pray, trying to reach God. And we know there's only one way to reach heaven, to reach God. And you can see that in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord said, I am the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. So that is to tell all those Muslims that are all in their Ramadan season right now, perhaps, trying to pray, trying to repent, that even the Jews have their repentance days, and every religion have those religious activities of prayer. But Jesus Christ is the way. The only way. The only way to the Father. Said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. But that is just by the way. Now let's go to book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. It's where I'm going to. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. It's what I'm going to capitalize upon, where Apostle James was telling us about prayer. If you can put it up in front, James chapter 5, verse 16, thank you. Verse 16 to 18, we're going to go through it. Said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, this is the second I'm going to. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he went to the next verse. He said, Elias, as Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Just 1 month. Next verse. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and they have brought forth a fruit. Now, that is where we're going to capitalize on. And he said, Elijah was a man like us. He said, well, Elijah was a prophet. Was a woman like us? So I'm going to talk a little bit on when you pray. There are some principles. It's principles that you need to follow that will make your prayer to be effective. Number one is that you must be praying to the right person. That's why I first talk about the other religions. But now when you pray, there's one principle that we are going to point to, and that is unity in prayer. Unity in prayer. He said, if two or three. So God is not looking for crowd for him to answer your prayer. But we human beings think if I go there and there's no crowd, they think, no, maybe God is not there. You know, somebody like me, we are used to small groups. In fact, I would say, a time in Nigeria where a family, just three families, for years, they are the only three families that meet and fellowship. You think God was not there? God was there. Say, we are two or three. I gather my name. You say, but what about the crowd? God loves the crowd too, but no, if they are just mixed multitude, God is not there. Many people have seen that in visions where the Lord will take a minister and say, and they will stand in the corner and say, see the whole congregation, big building, full of people. And the Lord said, he was not there because you can see their mind is not even on him. And look, he only come for entertainment. So that's why it is where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in their midst, what Jesus Christ said. That's Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. If you want to, really want to put that forward, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Christ said it, two or three. It's always there. Of course, excuse me, if you want to pray, nobody told us that Elijah gathered a crowd to be able to pray and stop the rain, no. But say it was just a man, a single person. So if you can't, it's preferable if you can just pray by yourself and you can reach God. Now, if you can get one person with you, become two people, that's much more powerful. When you want to make it three, you are getting into serious trouble where you may not get all the three people to agree. Agreement is what God is talking about here. Two or three. I'm going to give you testimonies when you say, if you can get two or three, then your prayer will be effective and easily answered. Get one more person that does not agree, and you are praying to God. God is looking at those three hearts. And it's very easy for people to not agree with you and they won't say it because you say, hey, can you pray for me this? And they didn't really agree with that prayer. They go through the motion. But two, it's very easy to get a maximum of three. That's why God said, if two or three, if you say, I must get the whole church to be praying for me, I'll be sure that all the people in the church are agreeing. Another point is this. I'm still talking about the unity in prayer. Unity is essential in prayer. And let me first point to the Bible verse you need to know in the book when you say unity. Look at Psalm 133. Psalm 133. And where God said, may it open up here in my Bible. Verse 1 said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The next verse. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Next verse. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, where? In unity, not the mountain of Zion, in unity. The Lord commanded what? Blessing, even life forevermore. So unity is essential for God, because God is a family man. So, but he said he knew that where one meets may not be able to get crowd together and unite, all of them unite. So he said two or three. So you can pray if you have the if you have something to cry to the Lord God for, you alone can cry to God and nobody joining you like Elijah the prophet. Now, I'm going to point to what kind of prayers are very easily answered in a moment. According to the scripture, it says, if you pray according to his will, he hears us. According to his will. That is very important. So that's first say, when you say Elijah prayed and stopped the rain, is that according to the will of God? Everything you see in that example, it is because the prophet or Elijah the prophet was doing this thing for God's purpose. Anything you are doing for God's purpose is in his will. For example, if you are praying for somebody that is sick, not for yourself, you are praying for somebody because God wanted the man healed, it's in the will of the Lord. If you are praying for yourself also, it is in the will of the Lord that you be healed and healthy and well. So you can pray for yourself, it's in the will of the Lord. If you are praying for nations, so revival, just like in the will of the Lord. If you are praying for all things that have to do with the plan of God, the gospel, that's in the will of the Lord. Elijah was praying to stop the rain, not because he just wanted to demonstrate his power. He wanted to bring Israel back to God. That's in the will of the Lord. So then he was able to ask, pray, and say, Father, let's do it this way. Let's stop the rain, and when there's no more rain, they will cry out to you. Then I can invite them to come back to God. You have turned away. Because go ahead and do that. So that is in the will of the Lord. So you have to know. But if you are praying for the Lord, make me a millionaire. Not that he cannot make you a millionaire, but is it for your own glory or for his glory? The Lord showed that I was praying in the night one time in my backyard, praising the Lord, and I know it is the devil bringing some thoughts to me.
Oh, how you would like to do some signs and wonders. In stuff like this, like this, like that. And the thought was coming to my mind while I was praising the Lord. And I know that that couldn't be. And the voice spoke from the God and said, will that be for your glory or for me? And the devil ran away. I mean, all these wonders. I want to show wonders. Go to the mall, the lame walk, and all the cripple just walk. Wow, everybody wants to know your name. The devil will be bringing those thoughts to you. And you enjoy that thought? Lord said, is that for me or for you? So that's why I'm saying it has to be for his glory. Anything you want to pray for, if it is for his glory, you get it easily. But if it's for your own glory, oh, you have to twist his arm to be able to get it. So that's one thing. So what I was talking about is unity is essential. Where you as a person can pray without anybody, but when you want to make it more powerful, get one person with you that agree with you. Tell him what you want to pray about. Do you agree about this? And then you can make it happen. That is very important. Even husband and wife, they are two there. Agree on something. Agree. So let me give you a testimony on that. Many years ago, maybe my daughter, my second daughter, Anna, was playing tennis. But when he was in high school, he went and played basketball also. But you are so tall, you can help us here. Okay, so she played basketball for them, Philip. And junior year, she injured herself, fell down, and the, what do you call it? In the knee, somehow, one of those things, they said this thing broke, and they need the surgery for that. So we went to the doctor, they need the surgery. So you don't have enough you know, to do that. So in the end, me and my wife in the church, right there in the capsule, where she go to capsule, just agree on these things. So me and my wife just say, we're going to agree that Lord perform miracle for this girl. Junior in high school, that's when she should begin to look for college accommodation, not for basketball, but for tennis. She's actually into tennis, but oh, well, basketball is another thing you can enjoy while you are in the city. And then she enjoyed herself. So we agreed. Me and my daughter, my wife, we agreed as two people. And the Lord made miracle happen. She was able to, no surgery. And they said this ligament, the ligament that one of the ligaments broken. So she was able to, throughout the senior year, she didn't play tennis, but she was graduating. And then she went to college. We were able to get her the scholarship because junior year looked like it's going to be difficult to get scholarship. Just use the record, all the videos that we have made before this injury. Send it to all these college coaches. They saw the video and said, yeah, we want this one. So she got the scholarship, not even seeing that whether she could even play. She was still limping in his final year, but she was able to get scholarship and play for 4 years with that thing healed. So the Lord gave the miracle because we agreed and prayed so that she was fine, everything was okay. Whether the Lord made the ligament heal it back, just so that she was able to play for 4 years or 50 years. She graduated, she came back here. That was the miracle. It takes two to agree on things like that, and the Lord will answer it. So that's why I said, if once two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew chapter 18, that you said, verse 19 said, if two of you shall agree concerning a thing that you desire, I say, it shall be given done unto you by my Father in heaven. Let's see another thing when he says one accord is essential. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 1 said, Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 1 said, the apostles, when the Holy Ghost was going to come down, there must be one accord. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 1. Give me that. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So very essential. You say, well, how are they able to get unity in that place? You see, when you are looking for something that all of you wanted, that's unity. That doesn't mean they are all united in, well, this one wants to let's finish the church at 7 o'clock, or let's start at 10, or let's finish at 9 p.m. They may not be able to agree on that, but see, they all wanted the Lord to give them the Holy Ghost. So they say, one accord is essential in anything you want to do. If the whole church can be in one accord, Bible says God will do it. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, also verse 24. In that chapter 4, verse 24, that was when they were all threatened that they should not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And then they gathered together. And when they heard that, I mean, when they told the rest of the crowd, I said, this is what the high priest told. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So remember, one accord. God is saying, in that unity, God will bring blessing. But that's what I'm saying when it comes to prayer. If you can get one person, it's stronger. If you are moving and walking with the Lord, even your own prayer can be just as effective, like Elijah the prophet. That's where Elijah the prophet is an example that he prayed alone. And when he wanted the rain back, he prayed, and the rain came back also. Now, what else is it? I'm talking about principles of getting our prayers answered. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 24 and 25, what we're going to talk about. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, I say unto you, excuse me, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, that is the most important principle. He said, you believe, you receive them when you pray. If you don't believe, I mean, you doubted it, you may not get it. See, that is the faith part of it. He said, when you pray, believe, you receive them. Then you say, you shall have them. But the next verse is essential. When you stand praying, forgive. That's another principle. So you have two principles right there. The Lord was telling us what hinders prayers. What hinders prayers? The first one, he said, when you pray, prayer is different from when you are taking authority and you decree something, which is verse 23. Say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, believe what you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. That's a different principle. You are not even praying. The praying is talking to the Father who is going to do this. Father, I need this. I want you to do this for me. That is prayer. But if you are commanding this thing to move, that is authority. And it's the Father that is going to do it, but it is the Father making that thing move. It is because you have the authority to do that. So that is different from second verse 24 we are reading. But for that verse 24, the praying part, we are talking to the Father to do this for you. This is what the principle that may fail, make it fail if you don't have the verse 25. So when you stand praying, forgive. So that the Father also can forgive your trespasses. And you can say, well, that is a serious thing when it comes to we believe human beings. And when you look at that, Christ is actually saying, the only law he gave to us is to walk in love. The only law. Because say when you walk in love, you are fulfilling all those commandments. You are fulfilling all those commandments when you walk in love. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, from verse 12 to 15. I want to go slowly now and talk about some of these things the Lord taught us. Matthew chapter 12, from verse 16. What did I say? No, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 14 to 15. The Lord will say, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. The next verse. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now in chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. This says, we are Apostle Peter. I've listened to the Lord talk about this forgiveness thing. And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how long, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times. And what was the answer of the Lord? Next verse. Verse 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. We all know that parable. Say 70 times 7. That is, keep forgiving. Keep forgiving. Keep forgiving. It's something you just make sure that, in fact, the Lord said in a place, if you bring your offering to the altar, your offering is also praising the Lord. You come here to praise him, or you want kneel now to pray, thanking him, say offering. So when then you remember that your brother has fought against him, that means God will remind you, because you are trying to offer something to him. Say, well, wait a minute, don't do that yet. Go and settle your problem with your brother or your sister. So when you remember, say you are going to, it's going to make you remember, so that you don't make a useless offering that he's not listening to, he's not watching, he's not going to pay attention to. Because you see in that Mark chapter 18, verse 15, that he was going to tell them the same thing, that when you bring your offering, make sure you forgive, or make sure you clear it. If your brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have won your brother. So he gave us principles of settling our disputes, our conflicts. But I want to go back to that verse 21 to 35 that we're talking about, because he gave us a parable of the person that owed big money, and the king forgave him. But he went and saw somebody that owed him small money, and he got him by the throat and said, no. And I also said the same thing, please forgive, I will pay you all. No way, and he went and threw him into prison. Verse 22. Verse 22, start from verse 22. That two or three are gathered together in my name, dear amen. Verse 22 of that. Verse 22. Until 70 times 7. Next, verse 23. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. The Lord used it as a parable of the kingdom of heaven. Say, king. Which would take account of his servants. Next verse. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Next verse. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he has, and payment be made. Next verse. Servant therefore fell down when your family is going to be sold into slavery for this offense. And the man was cried unto the king and said, please, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Next verse. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, forgave him all the debt. Next verse. So that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me all that thou owest. Next verse. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet also and besought him, says, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Next verse. He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So you can see, and then they brought the story back to the king. Next verse. Next verse. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. He should pay. So you can see that the Lord was teaching us, if you don't forgive, he said, the Father also will not forgive you. And we are all living on forgiveness. The whole Christian race is based on God forgive man. His Bible says, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes you will not perish. The Bible said, God was not imputing our sins unto us. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God was forgiving the whole world and saying, now just come back to me. But you want to forgive one another. That is how the Father said, if you don't forgive, then like you, they take the other one also away from us. So we cannot lie down there. We don't think we can learn that. Now, another point about prayer that I want to talk about is, how does prayer affect natural things? Excuse me. How does prayer affect natural things? When I say natural things, means people say, well, this is not something, this is spiritual, this is physical. Somebody has said, well, you know that you don't have to pray for this, you can just use the normal process. People say, well, what you need is wisdom instead of prayer. Well, where does prayer and how does prayer affect natural things? And when does it affect, or can prayer help us when it is just some natural events? Some natural events. Let's take an example of the storm on the lake when the Lord Jesus Christ was going with the disciples and the apostles. Now, the disciples were fishermen. They knew about, they had been in that lake, they do all their business there. So there will occasionally be a storm. And the devil does not bring the storm, it's just wind. That's natural, okay? And they know how to do things. Well, you just roll here, you hold the paddle there, and you roll, and they are holding, and they were doing all they know. But there could be occasions when the natural suddenly turns supernatural, when the spirits get involved. That is where the natural begins to fail. And the apostles, when the Lord Jesus got told them, let's go over to the other side, in the story of the storm, and I'm not going to refer to it, but you can read it yourself in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 from verse 22 and so on down. So they were in the boat going, and the Lord Jesus Christ was with them. But the Lord wanted them to also learn something. They know about this storm. These are fishermen, many of them, or the leaders, Peter, James, and John, they were all fishermen. And Andrew, they were all fishermen. So, and they used boats. And they use nets. So when the storm always will come, they know what to do. But now they have been doing it, it's not working. So that's when the prayer is necessary. That's spiritual. Because some spirits have come in to mess them up. Like I call it, they come to mess them up. Until they cry unto the Lord. The Lord say, where is your faith in that story? Where is your faith? That is, where is the authority of praying? Take authority spiritually. That is where prayer affects the natural things. Okay? And there could be another example where prayer can be on some natural things that your prayer can also affect. When you are praying for something that you want the Lord to do for you, even though it's a natural thing, God can still do it. That is not just stopping the enemy, but asking God to do something. That's God trying to give you something that is normal, natural, by pulling strings for you. In the world, you say, well, if you know big guys, you can get things faster. Now, we know a big guy, the God Almighty, so he can get things faster for you. That's introducing the Almighty God into your situation, which is normal, natural thing that God can also do that for you. And you know many examples of that in the scripture, even the prophets, which look like it's a natural thing, but the prophets step in and call upon the Lord, and the Lord will give them some miracles. That is when the natural is being affected by the prayer. You can give an example of that in the stories of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings is the story of Elisha the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 1 to 7. Elisha the prophet, it's a natural thing. If something drops into the water, it's natural. An iron head of a axe dropped into this water, into the river, and it went down. It's natural things. And maybe the river was deep. Nobody wants to dive there and be trying to look for the iron head. So they cry, oh, Elisha the prophet, this thing, we borrowed it. We borrowed it. What are we going to do? And then Elisha had to use supernatural to bring the iron head out of the water. So that's why I say, can we depend on prayer and faith when it's just some natural thing? You can ask God to help, to intervene. That's what Elisha just did in that story, 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 1 to 7, and then so on and so forth. Now, Let me point to the fact, some of the things we talk about prayer, and Apostle James also told us in James chapter 4, verse 3, that we may be asking amiss. If you ask for something just for your own lust. James chapter 4, verse 3. Say, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. So we want to make sure that we are not asking amiss anything we want to ask from the Lord, so that the Lord can answer everything we ask. We have to just say, what can I be asking amiss? He said, if you ask it just to fulfill your lust. I give an example before. I say, well, you are looking for a house to buy. Maybe you are, how much is your salary? You will make $1,000 a month or something like that. But you saw a beautiful house, it's $1 million. You say, well, I can use my faith to get it. You're trying to use your own faith to get $1 million. That may be asking amiss. You say, well, can God give us a great miracle like that? God can do it, but you have to convince him why you need $1 million. Convince him who's going to provide the money, because it's going to have actually some money. So if you can convince him, maybe you can get it. So how are you going to convince him that you need that $1 million house? He has 10 bedrooms, 10 baths, and 2 acres of land. And you say, wow, I want that. So convince him that you needed all those things. Otherwise, you are asking amiss. That's just a crude example. So very important that we are not asking amiss, but we are asking according to his will. And we are praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in summary, I'm going to summarize this and say, let's remember that prayer is effective. Number one, if you ask in the will of the Lord. So first, Sasha, is this in the will of the Lord, what I'm asking for myself? You're asking for yourself. Is this in the Lord's will? That's why I say, if you are asking for things that has to do with his kingdom, that's automatically a prayer that he will answer. Now, if you're asking for somebody else that is in desperate need, of course, he's going to answer that also. However, we talk about the unity part of it. Let me talk about that unity part again. If you are praying for somebody, you and that person has to agree in what you want. It's the same way that you are praying for yourself, but you get somebody to agree with you. When somebody is dying and is on the sick bed, there have been testimonies like that where somebody is old enough, he wanted to be sick and he wanted to die and go to glory. And another relative of his who wants to exercise faith was praying that this fellow should live. They are not agreeing. That's not agreement. The old man wants to die. The young man wants to keep him alive and praying and asking God, because I believe God can do it. God can keep him alive. That's not agreement. That's a disagreement right there. So God couldn't answer that prayer. So that is what I mean by unity. So even the unity must be that there have been testimony where a missionary, an old woman, 80-year-old missionary, was dying of cancer. She has been a missionary to China, all those places, but now she was 80-year-old, was dying of cancer. And two young pastors came to pray for her. And they were trying to pray for her to live. She told them, just leave me alone, let me go to glory. Yes, she has served the Lord. It was Kenneth Hagin Senior that gave that testimony when she was still a younger pastor. She said she had to convince her first that don't die like this. Let God heal you, then you can die. Because God didn't put this cancer upon you. Let's pray that the woman begin to have her mind change. So that is very important, that when she changed her mind, and no, I don't have to die like that, then she can be healed. But when they were trying to pray, and she wanted to die, and they were trying to, no, that will not work. That's why I'm saying that when you are praying, there must be that unity. Even the fellow that is being prayed for must want to live, must want this thing, so that both of them are agreeing. So it's very essential that we remember that God said, in the unity, he commands blessing. So that you now begin to make you search yourself and say, is there anything I have been praying for that I have not received. Could that be because I'm not praying in faith? He said, believe that you receive them and shall have them. When you pray, he said, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Then if you believe you have received them, you should now turn to thanksgiving. Begin to thank him, begin to thank him. Until it manifests. Until it manifests. If you stop thanking and you go back to praying, it's like you doubted, you didn't hear you the first time. And now you want to start all over again. So that is where doubt comes. You see, we have to stay in faith. Once you have said, thank you, Father, I know you have me, and I'm waiting, I'm believing God is going to manifest. Stay in that faith that I have asked and I receive. I'm thanking him. Until it manifests. When you thank him, you are reminding him. But don't stop and say, Father, I told you to ask to give me this thing. That means he didn't hear you the last time. No, that's becoming unbelief. But that's very another thing when it comes to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Then he told us that walk in love. Forgiveness is part of love. Forgiving, look around and say, whom did I offend? Who offended me that I have not forgiven? Check, not only in the midst of immediate friends or immediate family members, it could be even long, even it could be some co-workers. It could be some unbelievers. You have to forgive them all so that our heart is clear before the Lord. That is what the Lord is saying. When you walk in that love, then there is nothing the enemy can hold against you. Because he said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he said that if we know that we receive everything we desire of him because we keep his commandments. So his commandment is that we love one another. So once you can search yourself and say, I walk in love, Father. I walk in love, so now I must receive this thing. So everything that is unforgiveness is a serious blockage to our prayers, to our faith. So that's what I'm going to leave you with. Anything that is unforgiveness is a serious blockage to our faith and to our prayer. So let's just stand up and pray. We're going to stand up and pray. Pray for yourself. Let's stand up. That will be the end of this exhortation. Pray for yourself, say, Lord, maybe there are many things that I have not been doing right, or I've been praying, I have not received, but I want this answer. Search me, O Lord, is there any unforgiveness in my heart towards anybody? Towards anybody. Even if you have conflict with your spouse or your family members, resolve it quickly, immediately. That's why the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When you do that, then your heart is clear, ready to talk to the Father and receive whatever you're asking from the Lord. Because the enemy always tries to look for opportunities to hinder our prayers. But unity is essential. You can say, well, maybe I need to fast. Another people, somebody has prayed before. Fasting might help you, yes. Even making a hold can help you, yes. But all of those things, they are still based upon all these precedents. All these principles that you walk in love and in forgiveness and in faith, believing that what you asked for, you have received it and you will have it. Talk to the Father, just talk to him yourself and say, Lord, I have this that I'm asking from you. Nobody needs to be praying along with you. You can pray for yourself. You can pray that you say, Elijah was a man of like passion like us. If he prayed earnestly and God stopped the rain for him, and he prayed again earnestly and God brought the rain back, you can pray for whatever you need also. When it is the will of the Lord, he will give it to you. You have to look at those principles to see that you are clear before him and you are believing, you are standing in faith, and also you have no unforgiveness in your heart that can end that prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your victory. We thank you, Lord, for answering every prayer. And we commit all these prayers before you that you have said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You also said, Lord, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So every talk to the Lord now what you want him to do for you. Whatever you ask, he said, he will do it. But he said, ask in faith, not in unbelief. Father, we thank you for this. We know, Lord God, you are able to answer every prayer, we commit it to you. Every prayer that every person is asking you, you know the bodies of the earth, excuse me. You know the bodies of the earth, Lord. So give to everyone according to your heart's desire, according to your will, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We praise Him. Come back here and come and thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.